Ephesians chapter 5 is what we're going to be looking at today. And in this particular chapter, it kind of has two themes going on and a whole bunch of sub-themes, but two main areas that I want you to take note of. Verses 1 through 20 deals with the Father, God, who we are in our relationship with Him. And then in verses 21 through 33 deals with Jesus Christ as our example. First 20 verses deals with God, and the second one deals with Jesus Christ being our example. So with that in mind, let's read. There'll be a lot of things that you've heard or taught yourself about this particular one, because it's a great, great chapter on how we practically apply who we are in Christ and being seated in the heavenlies. And from that position and that vantage point, how do we live our lives here on earth today? And as we saw in chapter 4, which is the start of the practical section, this continues on. Be therefore. Now, therefore is because of what just came before. And we'll jump back up to verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be ye kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ, is how Ken read, in Christ hath forgiven you. So with that in mind, be therefore imitators of God as dear children. So many times we as parents don't realize just how much they do imitate us. We try to set a standard, or we tell them, this is what I want you to do. And they do something different than that. And you know what they're doing? Many times is imitating you. And you're not doing exactly what you want them to do. But you don't see it in your own self a lot of times. But by golly, that reflection, that gets your attention. Especially when they start saying the bad words. You know, it becomes real obvious. We don't say that, but you know, Daddy did. Well, in a much different framework, we are to be imitators of God. So how do we imitate God? Well, the verse right before it tells you how you do that, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ hath forgiven you. So, imitate Him that way. Do the same things that was listed there when it comes to our brothers and sisters in Christ. Starting first within our own families, our own household. That's where it begins. You know, a home fellowship is really just an expanded version of your earthly family. You're teaching the word to your family, and then you're inviting others in to be a part of that. That's what that's about. Okay, I'm a single person. Well, so what? You're still acting as a family with those group of believers that want to hear the word. Just as tenderly and as attentively as you would take care of a family member is how you take care of that new believer. It's great. It's wonderful. It's the family, because God is our Father and we are imitating Him as dear children. And walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. That's a reference to the Old Testament, in that the law was written to bring us unto Christ, okay, to teach us about Christ and to lead us up until the point that He comes. And it makes that Holy Spirit available. The Spirit of Christ in you. That's all a part of that leading up that the law did. Well, guess what the law talks about? In a way to assuage or get rid of our personal sins. Sacrifice. This is was a system that God had set up that something could be sacrificed to pay for your own particular sins, your mess-ups, your oops in your life, okay? But you, that's a temporary measure. That's like a Band-Aid. It was a way that God gave them that they could get out of the consequences of their own sins, but it wasn't one that took care of the big sin, which was the sin that was passed on by way of Adam. Okay? Well, guess what? Jesus Christ came and became that perfect sacrifice once and for all. And as Hebrews talks about, we don't need to go back and try to do it the old way. Because Christ paid the price. And He was, by His love, He did this. There's nothing that we can ever do for God that has any profit of all unless it's done in love. Nothing. You can actually do the will of the Scripture. You know, as you see in the Scriptures, it tells you to, let's say, like, forgive one another. You can't begrudgingly forgive one another. That's not love. Forgiveness only works if you're doing it because you love the person. It doesn't work even if you're doing it because you love yourself. And I want to get out from this feeling of bitterness that I have. Okay, that can't be the real motivation why you forgive somebody. Because it doesn't work that way. I'm working so that my pain will cease. We love that person, so therefore we forgive. So that sweet-smelling Savior. Now, verse 3, it talks about the ways that we can stop being offensive to God. Okay? But fornication and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. In other words, your life has changed. So now we need to act like that. We can't say I'm a saint and then still carry on with the old man ways. It just will not bring any profit. Neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting. Anybody ever live with New Yorkers or, you know, the Northeast kind of people? They have a particular kind of humor. And I really saw this because I come from a little rural kind of attitude state of West Virginia. And there, you know, you got still that Southern hospitality where you don't say anything that is offensive to people on purpose, you know. It isn't. But I went to New York as my first assignment, and what a culture shock. Because they are, I mean, they're all about the cutting, inconvenient jesting, where they will make fun of how you look or how you talk or something about you that they want to obviate that you don't particularly even like yourself. So, but, you know, that's how they show their humor. And sometimes their affection. It's a screwed up attitude, if you ask me. But I got to where, okay, do I want to fit in and start behaving like this? And I realized very quickly, that I can't do that. It's not who I am. I wasn't raised that way. And so I did not try to adopt that sense of humor. You know what? They honored that. And And I didn't try to change them. All I could do is teach them the Word. And that, those kind of things got less and less prevalent among the believers because they were more concerned in blessing rather than in tearing somebody down in order to be funny. So, but that was what that jesting is. Which are not convenient or proper, but rather giving of thanks. Rather giving of thanks. One thing that I know that for me and for Debbie, that this trial and tribulation that Alex just went through is how thankful we are taking, being reminded of how thankful we are for each other. You know, because you just have all the reason in the world to be thankful for that person. What would it be like without them? So, rather than doing all those kind of worldly things, it says, but rather giving of thanks. And how much more our life is blessed when we have this, these thoughts of thankfulness. Sometimes we think that, well, my life needs to change. You know, my existence is so hard. So therefore, I'm going to get rid of those old things and I'm going to grab a hold of something new that's worldly and falls into these categories. Doesn't work. Doesn't work. Become thankful for what God has given you and the life that you have that He wants you to walk with Him in. For this you know, that no whoremonger or fornicator, you know, somebody that has illegitimate sex, nor unclean person, nor covetous man who is an idolater has any inheritance in the kingdom of God, in of Christ. In the context is not really there. But why would they not be inheriting things in the kingdom? Well, what happens when you are raised from the dead? What happens when you get that new body? You go before the Bema, which is the not the judgment seat of, okay, now you're going to be punished for all you did wrong, but you are awarded the things that you do right. Well, what if you didn't do anything right? You were in the race, you got born again, but you didn't do anything with it. Rather that you walked as an old man nature guy. Well, you don't get any rewards. So there is no awards, rewards, or any kind of blessings that the person who is walking with God is collecting or to his account. Let no man deceive you with vain words. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. That wrath of God in this context is those ones that are really working for the devil. Okay, the children of disobedience. And so we don't want to be like that. We don't want to be doing the same works that they're doing. But be therefore partakers, be not therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes. Now this word sometimes is kind of indicates, well, sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. Sometimes you are, sometimes you're not. No, that isn't what this word indicates. It indicates one time. You were one time in darkness. But now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. And what did we see from the last teaching? What the light indicates. What is the context of how light is used? Is when you walk in the Word. When you are walking according to the Word. That's what brings the light into the world. Okay, when you do the Word of God. The Word of God is light. Jesus Christ is light. He is the Word of God incarnate. The living Word. And so that when we walk in the Word, according to the Word, we bring light into the world. When we try to do it by our own strength, even if we're doing it for good reasons, you know, we've got a church here, we want to make sure that we're doing things right. But if I'm doing it not according to the Word, I'm not bringing light. Well, if there is a lack of light, guess what is? The darkness. The darkness is there. It's only the Word that brings the light. So therefore, walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is not in the text, it is actually the word light. For the fruit of light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, providing what is acceptable unto the Lord. What provides it? The light of the Word provides what is acceptable in the Lord. Isn't that great?
Yeah.
That's right. How do you know what is acceptable to the Lord? How do you know that?
From the Word.
Anything that is beyond the Word has to be by revelation. It never contradicts the written Word. And there's always profit to it. Always profit. Verse 11. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather do what? Reprove them. Reprove them. Sometimes we don't want to be offensive. But what does the Word say here? We are to reprove the works of darkness. This whole nature of our country that we see today would not ever have existed 50 years ago. The idea that people are running for public office today with the backgrounds that they have, and people are going and going, isn't it wonderful you have such diversity? Which would have been shocking. Why? Because the sensibilities of what is right and wrong was much clearer. But because we get into this having fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness because of wanting to be tolerant, we end up, as a nation, as a culture, we give ground to the darkness. Backing up, backing up, backing up. And the darkness is just moving forward. But it only goes away when we shine as lights in the world. Verse 12, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by what? The light. You have to reprove by the Word. Your own opinions matter nothing unless it's rooted and grounded in the Word of God. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore, he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. And the Word, you know, being the emphasis of what light is, it's an understanding of the Word that Christ gives us. Because you can have the written Word, but without understanding it, it is of little profit. Not no profit, but little profit in what it could do for you. See then that you walk circumspectly. Walk indicating the lifestyle that you're living. Circumspectly means to be watchful. To be watchful about what is going on around you as well as in your own life. Not as fools, but as wise. Not as fools. Fools, they tend to do things and then think that no matter what they're doing, they're still going to be walking by the Spirit. Regardless of their own personal life. You know, I got this going on in my life. But by golly, I know that God's going to give me revelation. Well, what happens is they just make stuff up in their minds, it's their own thoughts, and then they speak it forth as revelation. Well, God told me this. God showed me that. Redeeming the time. What does redeem mean? To buy back, to purchase. Well, we see on the news of Black Friday? What are those people doing when they rush through the doors? They're grabbing up all the sale items, right?
Mm-hmm.
Well, that is kind of like what we're talking about here. We want to make sure that we don't even let one bit of our time be wasted. Our thought, I don't care what you're doing, whether you're at work, whether you're relaxing, whatever you're doing, what's going on up here? What's going on what are we putting in our heart by our thoughts? So we're redeeming the time because the days are evil. If we put ourselves in neutral, guess what? We're going to roll down the hill. And the hill is what the world wants us to be involved in. We kind of get sucked up into it if we aren't guarding our thoughts, which is the circumspectly part. Wherefore, be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Well, how do you understand what the will of the Lord is? The light. The context. The light of the Word. Verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. Alcohol is a very tricky thing. You think that you got it in control, but then all of a sudden, without you even being aware of it, you're no longer in control. But then you can get it in control again, and that is the wherein is excess. If you find that you have had problems with it in the past, it's not something to play with. It's not something to play with. But, in contrast to that, be filled with the Spirit. Speaking, how do you become filled with the Spirit? Then it gives you the answer. Speaking to yourselves, okay, what are you playing in your mind? What are you putting into your heart? Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. So I can do that by myself, or I can do it in a body of believers, can't I? Have you ever sung in tongues?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, you can also sing a hymn to yourself as you go through the day. But it's putting the words in your heart. Singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Also, while you're doing that, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we want to have that walk with the Father, this is how it's told us to do. To put away the old man nature with the works that it brings, and then put on the thoughts of the light of God's Word. Then it goes, now we switch in what is the example that Jesus Christ has given us? In verse 21, submitting yourselves one to another in, that's those words, fear of God. God is not in the text. Christ is. Submitting yourselves one to another in the respect of Christ. Now that puts in kind of a different context, doesn't it? Well, how do we submit ourselves like Christ did? Or because of Christ? What is the example that he set? Now that is answered this way. Verse 22. Wives, submit. Okay? Okay. This is how you do that. Submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. All right. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as, the standard, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Okay, Christ is the head of the church. How does he accomplish being head of the church? Anybody have an answer for that?
I don't want to give you the wrong answer.
Well, I don't know that there is a great wrong answer, but the point...
It's a hard question.
It is a hard question. People have been trying to figure that out for a long, long time. But what we can see is the example that he set, the pattern as is set forth as being the chief cornerstone of the building.
Okay.
Everything is built on that standard. The latitude and the longitude and all the specs rest and starts with that chief cornerstone or that head cornerstone. So him being ahead of the church does not mean he comes down and directs everything about your life. But he does set the pattern and he does set the standard of our lives. Okay? All right, that we know is how he does it in one way. Can he become personally involved and give direction? Absolutely. He showed that with Paul and Peter and a bunch of other ones since then, is that if something needs to be done or known to the church, he can reveal it. However, that is not how it always happens. But what it is always in place is his example. We can never turn our backs on that. He is Lord. And being Lord, the things that he has told us to do and the things he directed us to do and the things that he wants us to make it important in our lives is. So, even as Christ is the head of the church, he is the Savior of the body. So what kind of standard does that make for the husband? Believe me, it's a lot harder to say I'm going to give my life to somebody else than I'm just going to submit myself to somebody else. The responsibility that the husband has is to lay down his life if necessary. But that it isn't like, okay, I don't have to do anything until it comes time to sacrifice my life. There's a whole bunch of other things that come before that. Everything. Opening a door. I'm not going to do that. You mean to tell me you're willing to lay down your life for your wife and you're not willing to open a door for her? Believe me, if it came down to laying down your life, you're not going to do it. That's just words. But if you are totally committed to her, even to the point of laying down your life, now you're starting to understand what it means for it to be the husband being the head of the wife. Verse 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. Why is a woman being told to be subject and why is a husband told to love? It would seem like, well, shouldn't it be the love between both? Well, my observation about life and the relationship of husband and wives is the husband sometimes forgets through the course of what they're trying to do to really be loving toward their wives. And have to be reminded. You need to be reminded to be tender and loving and kind and all those things that lets the wife know just how important she is. And a wife, I've seen, If the husband doesn't want to be the head of the household, she will be. She'll step in and fill the void. She'll run the roost. And she needs to remember to honor her husband and be subject and let him be that one who sets the pace, sets the pattern, and be the spiritual head of the family. It's something the women have an issue with and needs to be reminded, and something the men has issues with and need to be reminded. Verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. All the Jewish people understood what this washing of water by the word. Almost all communities of Jewish inhabitants and stuff like that, and even some of the pagans people, they did ceremonial washing before they would go into the temple or into the synagogue and stuff like that. They had, I think it was called mitzvah baths. Then they would go down and they would wash themselves ceremonially to cleanse themselves, and they weren't allowed to touch anybody that hadn't done that before they went into the temple to ceremonially cleanse themselves. Well, it says here that by loving his wife, that he might sanctify and cleanse it. Well, this is what Christ did for the church, with the washing of the water by the word. Now, he didn't baptize anybody. Christ never baptized anybody. So it's not about the water. It's about the word that he gave is what baptized and cleansed them. And those that believed were healed, were saved, and any number of other things that is required by believing the word. Verse 27, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blame. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. So all the little things is included in this ultimate sacrifice that Christ made for the church. When he reached down and he healed the blind and the cripple and the brokenhearted and the leper, those were all little things that happened in service before he made the ultimate service of the sacrifice on the cross. Well, a husband is to operate the same way. All the little things is what makes the difference. But the biggest thing he can do for his family is the washing with the word, to bring the word into the family. Verse 30. For we are members of his body, of his flesh and of his bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. We were having a discussion in the car going in about this particular verse, and how it emphasizes that the responsibility is on the man to leave his mother and father. It is also indicated in the verses above that the woman being subject to her own husband would be following him. There's a family relationship that you'll never give up. Mother, father will always be your mother and father. They just will not hold that place of being in the subjection to them like you did before you got married. Okay? When you got married, that point of being in subjection now is to your husband. some, you know, some girls and some wives never really got that one. They still want to let what mom and dad say be overriding what their husband wants to see for the family. And that causes a lot of problems. Doesn't mean that you got to live with them, but or can't live with them. All right? There might be a time when you absolutely need to do that for your family. But the point is that even if you did, the subjection part didn't go back to the parents. Okay. But he's really quick to point out, this is a great mystery. This is a great mystery, which I think is kind of funny. But I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, every one of you in particular, so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. So, that's kind of like a little exclamation point at the end. Really, this is a way for us to practically apply who we are in Christ in a very practical way. This is life. This is everyday issues that we face as Christians. Is how do we live with one another in a way that is a blessing and a glorification of what Christ is to the church? An example of that. And when it happens right, it is an example. When it happens wrong, we have each other to help. So that was chapter 5. Mm-hmm.